September 2nd, 2015, it's a few days before Janmashtami. And I know the lighting isn't so good. Hold on a second. That's even worse. Hold on.
There's still... Okay, that's even worse.
Anyway, best we can do for now. Better than nothing. I have not eaten yet. Dinner. So, I have, can we talk and chat at the same time? Is that possible? So if you can go on to chat and let me know you're here. Anyway, I'm going to start eating now. And you can watch me eat. This lighting, I should move over. The lights on my head. Anyway, I'm going to eat, and I'm going to wait for you to show up. Because right now, no one has showed up. Janmashtami is coming up in a few days. And so I wanted to talk about Janmashtami. Can you hear me? Here it's not so good. Here it's good. You say, what's not so good? Your internet? Maybe you can... you have a choice of listening without watching. Anyway, I want to talk about Janmashtami. And I did a little search on Janmashtami, the appearance of Krishna. And one thing that kept coming up is that celebrating Janmashtami is one of the 64 items of devotional service. You'll find these 64 items listed in the Nectar of Devotion in various segments. And the item of celebrating Janmashtami, it comes up in different places as a devotional practice. So yeah, if I get closer, then see, I'll just have to talk louder. Hold on. I will try to talk like there are many people in the room. Is that better now? Yes, we can hear you. Okay, I'll talk louder though. So I'll get a little closer. So Sanatana Goswami was, Lord Chaitanya instructed him, and one of the things he instructed was that you should celebrate Janmashtami and other festivals. It's one of the 64 items, and there's a chapter called Offenses to be Avoided, and in that chapter it says one should celebrate, not fail to celebrate Janmashtami. And so it's considered an offense not to celebrate Janmashtami. And then you might think, well, everybody celebrates it. So that's true, but we can celebrate it better. One of the ways we celebrate it is by being absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna all day. So fortunately this year it's Saturday, so we can do that. Be involved in service to the deities, be involved in any way we can, hearing, reading Krishna book, reading about Krishna's birth, or reading any of Krishna's leelas, meditating on it, reading Gita, where Krishna talks about his descent, and fasting. And if you can't fast, then you take some milk and fruit, or some milk product and fruit, and then you fast up till midnight, or then you take prasadam at midnight. A lot of devotees lately are not fasting anymore. So part of the celebration is fasting. I mean, some people, health-wise, they can't fast. It's difficult, you know, but as far as possible, for all the healthy people, it's, if you need to take something, take a little fruit, milk products, and otherwise don't take anything, or take a little water, and then break the fast at midnight. And generally they serve Ekadasi prasadam, that's the system, and don't go crazy eating at night, because the next morning we celebrate Prabhupada's appearance day. So Russian drastya, pravda, nyet, da. What is that? Spasibo? Spasibo is thank you. And harsh, what's it? Good, harshibo or something? Or, I forget. It's about it. It's about all I can say. My daughter can speak with a Russian accent. My name is Boris. My name Igor. I am Hare Krishna. That's my Russian. It's nice to meditate on Janmashtami and Krishna's appearance. The significance of Krishna's appearance. In the Gita, Krishna says he comes. Not really comes to annihilate the miscreants. If he does, he says the real reason is to protect the devotees. Of course, he protects the devotees by defending them, by eliminating miscreants. But his real mission is to protect the devotees and show his love to the devotees. So one of the meditations we have on Janmashtami is Krishna's descent is he's coming here to, out of love, to call us back, reclaim us. And he reclaims us by speaking the Gita, and he reclaims us by performing his leelas, which are both instructive philosophically and relishable and purifying, because they by hearing Krishna's leelas, they purify us of our material contamination. So appreciation of Krishna's descent is very powerful, because appreciation is an aspect of love. Obviously, where there's love, there's appreciation. So the more we can appreciate Krishna in any aspect, but now especially in his descent personally, the more it will help us. It's like Krishna says in the Gita, one who knows me as the Lord, he surrenders. So surrender is actually a byproduct of attraction to Krishna. So appreciation leads to attraction. Then attraction naturally leads to surrender, or the or some affection is there when there's appreciation. That's whatever. If you appreciate someone, it's appreciation is, you could say it is mixed with affection, or it brings out affection. So Prabhupada said Krishna wants us back more than we want to go. So that's another nice meditation, that Krishna, he comes to find us and pick us up and get us out of this entanglement which we've been in for many, many years. And that shows that his descent is a descent out of love for us, because he's coming for us. Paritranaya sadhunam. To deliver the sadhus, vinashaya chaduskritam. To annihilate the miscreants. So you might say you're not a sadhu, but you're a devotee, so he's come. Or by his coming, you become a devotee, and that means now you can appreciate that he's coming for you. He's coming for everybody, of course. That's his love. So that's a wonderful meditation for Janmashtami. And also, most temples have kirtan going on for much of the day. So, you know, Jamashtami is a social function. But traditionally, when I was a young devotee, Jamashtami was less of a social function. By social function, I mean that in many temples, the Jamashtami festival caters a lot to the public, and so dramas and dances and so many performances, so it becomes a little social, and you get to meet people that you haven't seen. That takes place more in the evening, but traditionally, in my early days, Jamashtami was the day I chanted 64 rounds. Because we weren't going out on Sankirtan, and in those days there wasn't a lot of service. And still, some devotees don't have a lot of service in Jamashtami. So that's one way we can observe Jamashtami is to chant more. And if you like to chant 64 rounds, then you get up early, and you chant about 8 hours. And you won't be able to socialize during those 8 hours, otherwise you'll never get your rounds done. So that's what I believe Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatana Goswami. Or these are ways that we can follow that instruction when he said, observe Jamashtami. Of course, we observe at midnight Artik, we observe Abhishek. When you observe an Abhishek, you're participating in it. By seeing it, you don't have to do it. It's the same thing, seeing it and participating. It's not different because you're participating by seeing it. So coming to the Abhishek, whenever that may be, here in Lecture, they do it in the morning after class. Attending the Bhagavatam class if you can. Helping in any service you can. Attending, you know, whatever functions there are, you attend. That's how you celebrate. It's not that you celebrate by showing up for prasadam. Oh, that's one way you celebrate. Or, you know, the whole day you're involved in other things and then you come to the temple in the evening. But it should be a celebration that goes on all day from the very beginning. And in the early days, when there were only a few devotees, what Prabhupada did is he just read Krishna book all day. And he went through the whole day and he read it to the evening. I read up to like midnight or 1 o'clock or something. The devotees were pretty tired. So he stopped, not because he was tired, he stopped for them. He saw they were tired and hungry and eyeball dusted, and you just got back from work. It is 8, 7, 6, 5, oh yeah, it's 5:40 for you, isn't it? So, yes, that's the... you know, so it should, as far as possible, we should minimize other activities and only be engaged in service and supporting the temple and what they need done and chanting extra, hearing, getting more absorbed. And so it's a powerful day. And it's Krishna's appearance day. So just as you would celebrate someone's birthday with your attention, your devotion. You can do it. Sometimes devotees buy gifts offered to the deity. You can ask the pujaris what they need. Sometimes the pujaris will tell you what they need. So that way you can buy birthday presents. And deity department always needs things. So that's something to consider. Right? Let's get this straighter. iPad broadcasting. I guess I could, with Skype, I could broadcast on my phone also. Interesting, huh? So, another aspect of Krishna's coming, of course, is that we have the whole 10th canto of his Leela. And he comes to display his Leela to show us that he's more attractive than anyone. And the amazing thing is, by hearing his Leela, Even if you don't do anything, you just hear it, you become purified. Even if you don't think you're becoming purified, you become purified. So hearing the Leela is quite simple, just like you could hear about Harry Potter. And it might be interesting or fascinating or mystical or magical and entertaining, but it won't be spiritually beneficial. So Krishna has made it so easy to make spiritual advancement because you can do it just by hearing stories. It was quite amazing. It's such an easy process. So by descending and displaying his leelas, then we have something to hear about and also something to speak about. And that hearing and speaking is really the main process of Krishna consciousness. And if Krishna doesn't display his leelas, then we'll probably end up being absorbed in talking about leelas of movie stars and sports stars and politicians and criminals and psychopaths and friends you don't like and etc. Or enemies you don't like. If they're friends, I guess you like them. People you don't like. And it's nice to meditate on this and also meditate on perhaps that we need to be more absorbed or inclined to talking about Krishna's leelas after all. He's really performing them so we have something to think about and something to talk about. Something to meditate on because what he does is, it's very special. It's very wonderful. It's also funny. He's very powerful. And in Krishna consciousness, we're trying to become attracted to him as a person. So you become attracted to people by hearing about them. Also by seeing what they do. But if you're not with them, then you become attracted by hearing about them. And oftentimes you'll hear about someone and then you'll think, I'd really like to meet that person. Right? So this is the same with Krishna. I think part of the problem for some of us is when we're hearing, we think, oh, he's God. So it's like, you know, if he's God, he's supposed to be wonderful, and then we take it for granted. Like, let's say Radhika gives an amazing class, and then we all think, that was an amazing class, Radhika. That was just incredible. And Radhika says, well, actually, I had a recording of my spiritual master and it was hidden through an earphone and you didn't know it and I was actually just repeating what he said. And if I give the class, then you think, well, you know, that's what we expect from you. So it's kind of like we appreciate it, but it's not like, wow, that was amazing. But when Radhika does it, we think, oh, that's amazing. So I think sometimes when we hear Krishna Leela, we think, well, yeah, he's God, so, you know, what's the big deal? Right? I mean, he lifted a hill, yeah, but he's lifting planets in space, so no big deal. It's like, nothing to write home about. You know, I picked up a rock today, no big deal. He picked up a mountain. The mountain to him is like a rock. But we're supposed to hear Krishna's pastimes and see him the way the residents of Braja see him, as this wonderful person who's not God. So it makes it more wonderful when you de-Godize him, if you know what I mean. Then you start thinking of Krishna just like a friend or a lover or a son. Then he becomes more attractive. But when you think of him as God, then it's like, yeah, well, he's God, so that's what he does. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to lift things. He's supposed to do amazing things. But it's not really amazing because that's what he does. So you have to, when you hear Krishna's pastimes, you want to get out of that. Of course, you understand his transcendental nature. You understand the tattva of God, but when you hear the leela, then you want to enter the rasa, the relationship, and become attracted to Krishna as this young, beautiful cowherd boy who's a jokester, a trickster, a lover, cunning, crooked, who dresses beautifully, is an amazing dresser, an amazing dancer, plays the flute, incredible intelligence. You know, when you just think of it as personal qualities that anybody would have, then you become much more attracted to it. When you think, well, that's God, it takes on a different flavor and flair, and you don't develop the personal attraction. So that's something we want to meditate on for Janmashtami, don't you think? That's a good idea. You know, meditate on Krishna's lila as a person. You know, as Prabhupada said in Braj, Vrindavan, it doesn't matter to them if he's God or not. They just love him. Could be God. All right, if you're God, that's fine. But it's not why we love you. You know, you may be rich, okay, but we don't love you because you're rich. We love you because you're Krishna. I don't know if it's from New Vrindavan. Probably reading Krishna, but I had the impression it was from New York, like the first Janmashtami, maybe 1966. So, Janmashtami is a day in which we can increase our attraction to Krishna, appreciate his qualities. Like, you know, when you say Krishna's qualities, then again, if you think of it as God's qualities, it kind of loses its power, if you know what I mean. But when you think of these as personal qualities of a person, then they see how wonderful they are. If you say, well, it's God, then it's like, well, it's God. So for God, that's just normal. So we want to try to get out of that consciousness to some degree, and not artificially imitate, but if Krishna, if you meditate on his charming features, his charming smile, his soft body, the fragrance of his body is intoxicating, the sweetness, the sound of his voice, all these things are just, then you'll get a lot from Janmashtami, you know, the personality, the person, this young boy. And I know for some of us who especially come from very religious backgrounds, you know, God is to be feared, and God is the Father, the Punisher. We should be afraid of him. Obedience is required, and so forth. But it's not actually the God we worship. We worship a young coward boy whose sidelong glances attract the gopis of Vrindavan, whose flute melts their hearts, causes the Jamuna to stop flowing. So many things. It's just, so that's a nice Janmashtami meditation. What else do we want to absorb ourselves in Janmashtami? The lilas, the kirtan, the service, the appreciation of Krishna's descent, the appreciation of Krishna's love for his devotees, the attendance of the Abhishek, the chanting of extra rounds, the fasting, the service we can do to the deities, or the preaching we can do to bring people to the temple, or whatever else we can do. And then of course, it's nice to meditate on the lila of Krishna appearing, how he appeared, and significance of his appearance, all the details of his appearance. And, you know, we talk about virgin birth, Christianity in Christ, and that's, Krishna was conceived in the mind of Vasudev. He entered Vasudev's mind, he entered Vasudev's heart. And then Krishna was impregnated by Vasudev and to his wife Devaki in his consciousness and his heart. So it's like he gave Krishna, it's like Krishna entered his heart and mind and he gave Krishna to his wife. And that was Krishna in the form of Vasudev, not Shyamasundara, because that's the form that Vasudev and Devaki worship. What some are not aware of is that simultaneously Krishna appeared in Vrindavan as Shyamasundara. So he appeared with four arms in Mathura and two arms in Vrindavan. And Krishna was brought to Vrindavan in the Vasudev form. And then he was merged into the body of the original Krishna, who had actually appeared from the womb of Yashoda. But sometimes it's not described that way. And so the idea is that Vasudev brought Krishna to Vrindavan, and then he exchanged with Subhadra, or was it Balaram? My brain is going dead. Subhadra, and then she was brought back. And so Kamsa thought that Subhadra was born, when actually Krishna was born. And that's a general story we read, but actually Krishna appeared as Shyamasundara in Vrindavan. He does not appear as Vasudeva in Vrindavan. So he had to, even if you take the story that he was Vasudeva when he came, he assumed the form of Shyamasundara. But the other understanding is that he already appeared as Shyamasundara from the moment of Yashoda. So when Vasudeva was brought, he merged in that form. When Krishna left Vrindavan, then he assumed the form of Vasudeva, because in Vrindavan he stays as Shyamasundara, but when he leaves Vrindavan he takes on the form of Vasudeva. And so in Mathura and Dwarka he is in the form of Vasudeva. When he speaks Bhagavad Gita, when he kills demons, he takes, even in Vrindavan when he kills the demons, he takes the form of Vasudeva, which is like a Vishnu form. But in Vrindavan he's Shyamasundara, and then it's said that he never leaves Vrindavan. Even if it appears that he's left, he's there. At least in the remembrance and the hearts of the devotees. But he doesn't leave Vrindavan as Shyamasundara, so he stays in their hearts. And fortunate devotees can see Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Still, it's possible, because he's always there. So, Janmashtami, it's a big festival, and I would encourage you to participate in any way you can in glorifying, you know, think of what you can do on Janmashtami to add to the festival. Maybe if you're a kirtanier and there's not kirtan going on all day, you could organize more kirtan, or 24-hour kirtan, or 12-hour kirtan. If you're an actor, you can organize a play. You can invite many of guests in the neighborhood to come. In San Diego, we do fireworks. We go to the beach at midnight, I believe, and we do fireworks. I mean, that's what we used to do. We would do fireworks, and then we'd say it's Krishna's birthday. Then we would invite people back. So, that's all I have to say. Somehow that brought us to 9 o'clock. So, do you have anything you would like to add to this, or any question you'd like to ask? Any confusion? Maybe you're confused and you don't know you're confused. That's worse than being confused and knowing it. You know, of course, in the age of Kali, one of the best ways to worship Krishna is through kirtan. Harinam Sankirtan. So, if nothing else, just increase your kirtan and your japa. And that's the best way to worship Krishna. You know, rise early. Make this whole day is sacred, so you rise early. Everybody. I got a latch of maybe 30, 40 devotees go to Mangalarti on Jamastami. It was like 200 or 300 because, you know, it's a special day. So if you don't normally go to Mangalarti, then you should go. Get up and go. That's the day, you know, to celebrate. And during the day, if needed, you can take a little rest and then you can stay up at night till midnight. Honor Krishna, because Krishna appeared at midnight, so we do the midnight arti. It's very special. Usually the deities get a new outfit. Usually the altar is decorated, so it's very inspiring. So, is that okay? Are you satisfied or you want more? Give us more. We want more. There's more in the Krishna book. You can read as much as you want. There's more in the Bhagavatam. You can read as many pastimes as you want. You can read the whole appearance of Krishna. If you have access, there's a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he comments on each verse of the Bhagavatam or sets of verses of the Bhagavatam. And if anyone you know has that, then it's nice to read the Bhagavatam 10th canto, Krishna's appearance, and also read his commentary, which is very insightful. So, without further ado, since it doesn't seem like anyone has any questions or comments, then I think we can end class. So I'll just have a moment of silence and see if you have anything you would like to add or ask. Any realizations you have about Krishna's appearance and the celebration of his appearance. And don't forget to celebrate Prabhupada's disappearance the next day. Everyone is stunned, and silence is a symptom of being stunned. And being stunned is a symptom of ecstasy and love for Krishna. Right? Krishna is stunning. He will stun you. Okay, so why don't we end here? Thank you for listening, and we will say Hare Krishna, Jai Prabhupada.